Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. We, our phone number here at the station?
337-8874.
I tried to throw you a curveball.
You did, but see, when I look at you, I can see the station number's up on the wall over there. So, just asking what time it is, that'll get me, because I just like turn around the other way.
Well, today, our guest is Alicia Rubalcaba. She is the, Good morning. She is the FRC coordinator, or the Family Resource Center coordinator.
Yes, that's right.
For the Family Resource Center, located at the very, very fringe of our listening area. Can you guys hear us on the radio over there?
I believe some people can, but not everybody.
If
they have good antennas, yes, they
Hamlet,
can.
the borough, the suburb of San Pasqual.
Winter Haven.
Yes.
Winter Haven.
Right.
Yes.
Well, the Winter Haven Bard area, actually.
Winter Haven.
And for all those river goers, they know exactly where we're at.
Yes. I know exactly. Going to Hidden Shores over there.
Hidden Shores, yep.
So we're
going
to get, take me to the river for the break time, okay?
Yes. That's right.
Yes. So we're going to talk about today about the services that your FRC center provides.
Yes, that's right. Yesterday we were here, we talked about all the different resources that we have out there. And it was mentioned that we started actually 6 years ago on September 3rd. And when we started, it was just a one-stop.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. We had just a little trailer, and it was just the one-stop services. Basically, we did everything out of there, and eventually the school district put up a building for us, and now we have all the resources available there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from applying for Medi-Cal and cash aid, behavioral health services, food bank, IID, mm-hmm. emergency assistance, application forms for the 30% discount. So pretty much it's been growing throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
Little by little, agencies are figuring that they can go out there and serve the community. They didn't have a place, a meeting ground, and now they do. So it's been very good for the community, actually.
So the community at Winter Haven.
Yes.
They have, it's at the outer, eastern part of the county?
60 miles east of Imperial County, and yes, we're part of Imperial County, and if you look on the map, it's one of the biggest cities in Imperial County, because
mm-hmm.
it stretches out. And it reaches all the way out to pretty much where the Yuma Proving Ground ends. It's
mm-hmm.
all Imperial County. And we have families who live out there. We have a lot of little trailer parks, a lot of little remote homes out in the area, and they all are part of the Imperial County.
Can some of the community members from Winter Haven go to Yuma?
They can, but they don't qualify for services because they are California residents.
Okay.
So if they wanted to apply for anything, let's say cash assistance, medical, they don't qualify. They're California residents, so therefore they can't apply over there. They can go to the food bank over there, and we send them for referrals. That way they don't have to come all the way out here. But as far as their services, which is a state services, they don't qualify.
How far up the river do you guys serve people? Eventually run into Palo Verde, but...
Mm-hmm. We go out to...
Palo Verde is another community that's...
Okay. Yes. We serve pretty much up into Imperial Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Levee area. That's pretty much where we cut off. That's where the last homes are, but it's, if you think about it, it's almost cuts into Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a huge area to cover, first of all.
Yes. It's a huge area to cover, and for our students, it's somewhat difficult because they have to be bused in. We talked about transportation just being one of the major issues out there. We have one bus that travels from Imperial County to Winter Haven every Wednesday, 6:30 in the morning, and it doesn't go back until 6:30 in the evening. So for any person who wants to come down to the Imperial Valley, it's a 12-hour day. And if you have children, you have to tug along children.
Oh, my
and
God,
make it just a whole, it's an ordeal. So fortunately with the FRC out there, the Family Resource Center, we now have social services who does applications for Medi-Cal, cash aid. We have CalWORKs, which is linked over to social services. We have the Department of Rehab. We have ROP. Behavioral health services, of course. We have a complete clinic out there. And we have the food bank, One Stop. One Stop has been very good for the community because of unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, a lot of people have been unemployed. So instead of coming all the way out to California or down to El Centro to apply for unemployment, they can do that through the one stop. So that's been helpful.
Well, today we're talking to Alicia Rubalcaba. She is the Family Resource Center coordinator over there at Winter Haven, serving the San Pascual School District, Lombard. Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, even though it's a great big area, how many people are out there?
Well, just on the reservation itself, we have about 1,600 registered tribal members. That's just tribal members. So that doesn't count for all the other individuals who are out there. When you see Winter Haven Town, it's a population of 891,
mm-hmm.
but that's the actual little town, which is probably about five blocks.
And
but
it doesn't include the reservation.
It doesn't include the reservation.
Okay, so it's about 2,500.
Exactly.
How
and,
more?
It doesn't include the people who are living out in...
the unincorporated
and
exactly.
Yeah.
And the ones that aren't Winter Haven Town. This is just the ones that are considered Winter Haven.
So has the census gone over there and figured out how many people are in that area?
To date, no, because our sign still reads 891.
Maybe the census came out, but the sign painter guy.
Maybe this year we'll have the census go out there. But I think it's just counting the actual town.
Yeah, and it must be difficult because I have a substance abuse counselor that goes over there, and so he says that he picks up kids, and sometimes they're living out in the river, out at the edges.
They camp out. They tend to camp out. As long as they have somewhere to live, they can get a camping permit. And so basically some of our families actually live out there and just live out of RVs.
Bureau of Land Management land or
yes,
Indian land?
Yes, it's the Bureau of Land Management. They have to get a camping pass. They can choose whether it can be a month-to-month or a six-month. And we have families who actually live in their RVs. And we have a lot of little trailer parks that people don't seem to know of, but we know of because we have our families who live out there. We have our students who live out there. Mm-hmm. And when we have to go out there to make home visits, you know, sometimes there's no street names, but you know where they are because of they tell you basically to go to the tree and turn, take a left, take a right, and you know where you're at.
To Cali.
Yeah, that's about.
So people form. So we shouldn't look for this on Google Street Maps, huh?
No, definitely you won't find it.
But people form. It's interesting that people form little communities, just like I don't know, like anywhere else, but they're communities without much kind of government organization or anything.
Exactly. You have a lot of we have people actually in Winter Haven, the town, where I know they set up their trailers and they're pretty much living off of bottled water. They don't have electricity. They have generators. So somebody's basically letting them live on their land.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one big campground out there sometimes.
You also mentioned about that reservation. You have an Indian reservation there.
Yes.
And that's the
Quetzal Indian Quetzal Reservation. And some people might know it because of our famous casinos. We have two out there. So, yes.
How has that affected?
It hasn't affected very much. We know that for our seniors it becomes a problem, only because, you know, they're limited income and, you know, it's a good place to go and spend the day. But employment-wise, it didn't help out many of the community members. A lot of people came in. I don't know. I think it was mostly because they came out of Yuma to work. And transportation, once again, is a big issue for the people in Winter Haven. So if you get a job, you need a car. You don't have a car, you can't get to work. So I think still that, even though it was a good opportunity for employment, transportation is still...
just opened up, and that employed a lot of people.
A lot of people. There's people that actually commute from El Centro over there, but for all of our Winter Haven locals who don't have transportation, it gets somewhat difficult to get there.
So unemployment is a big issue.
Unemployment is a big issue, and transportation.
So, poverty level is pretty...
It's pretty high. Basically, all of our families out there are considered to be low income. All of our students get free lunch out there. We do have the families who do the seasonal work. They work whenever the lettuce is in town or it's date season. So that's pretty much the employment out there. Is it either if it's lettuce or the watermelon, anything having to do with agriculture. And it's only seasonal, of course.
So you get seasonal farm work, and then the rest of the year, unemployment and other types of benefits
correct.
Kind of getting you through this thing.
Unemployment.
So before the FRC was in Winter Haven, the Family Resource Center was in there. If somebody, let's say a family member, that needed services, you know, try to get some aid, some cash or food stamps or something, and they had little ones. And they were illegal. The parents and the kids are U.S. Yeah. citizens. What would happen to them? Because, you know, there is a border check.
You know, before there wasn't the border check, but still, it was just more difficult because they had to come all the way to El Centro to apply. We've always had social services out there, but it was just a much smaller office, and it was not an everyday thing. Now we have somebody out there 4 days a week. We have an eligibility worker. We have, on some days, it's double appointments, mm-hmm. and actually they have emergency applications now. Whereas before, if you need an emergency application for Medi-Cal or cash aid, you have to drive all the way to El Centro. But now they actually do all those emergency appointments out there. So a family who needs that, you know, they can just go to the Family Resource Center, make an appointment, emergency, and they can have cash, you know, by the next day mm-hmm. if they needed it. So that's been very good for the community. It's just it's a growing need out there, and they see that we have a lot of families on aid.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the caseload out there, I mean, most of our families are on cash aid mm-hmm. out there. So it's been a blessing for them to have the resource center where they can go and apply for the emergency cash aid and not have to come all the way down here.
Well, you didn't even have bus service until when? I'm sure you can remember when it started.
Bus services, I believe, started about 3 years ago. But once again, it's only once a week mm-hmm. on a Wednesday, and it's a long day for our families. And we've been to the board, Pearl County Board, Transportation Board. They used to have meetings in the past where, you know, we routed out
yeah.
something where, you know, they can pick them up or, you know, how they can get off on a certain road, Algodones Road, and it would cover pretty much the main streets where people can actually, you know,
yeah.
get on the bus and go all the way out to our post office in Bard and head all the way in. Because sometimes the pickup spot is in Winter Haven Town.
Mm-hmm. Which is all the outlying.
They're in the outskirts, so they don't have the transportation to get to where the bus actually comes in. So if there was one line that would go all the way through, then it would pick up a lot more people.
Is that all right with most people? I mean, in general, it seems like just kind of maybe intuitively that people who choose to live in a rural, isolated area and don't have a lot of resources pretty much are choosing to live in a rural, isolated area without a lot of resources.
We have a lot of the adults that don't have the children that choose that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of cool with it.
Yeah, they're fine with it. I mean, they're fine living in their trailer. We have nurses that live out there in their little campgrounds, and, you know, they're paying $40 every 6 months. So basically it's just they choose to live that way. But it's those that have the families, and just because of the cost of living, they can afford to live in this area and receive their cash,
mm-hmm.
their cash aid, or whether it be Social Security or what have you, that's why they're in Winter Haven. Yes, they can go across into Yuma, but then it changes everything. And, you know, when you think about Yuma, choose to work state. Minimum wage is a lot lower. Services are not as high as in California, so that's why we have our families living in Winter Haven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just very different. You know, when you think of minimum wage in California, minimum wage in Arizona, it's very different. I believe right now it's $6.70 in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
whereas in California is already almost $9.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people choose to live in California. You know, they have their families there, they have their benefits there.
They realize that it's also expensive in California.
It's also, it's expensive, but the thing in Winter Haven, they can afford, it's a lot cheaper than if they go into
yeah.
a bigger city. They still get their money, and, you know, they're not going into Arizona where it's a lot less.
Mm. So. You get a lot of people living on the edge. Mm-hmm. This is Let's Talk About It. We're here with Alicia Rubalcaba. She's the coordinator of the Family Resource Center in Winter Haven. And we are at the top of the hour. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back for more show.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio from Mexicali and Imperial Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health, and our phone number here at this radio station is 337-8874.
Welcome back. Good morning. Jimena is no longer an issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, she tried to cross Baja twice, and crossing Baja twice will take up any hurricane and just chop it up because it's got that nice little ridge of mountains that just destroys storms.
I know. I've
So
we drove a couple of years ago from Cabo San Lucas to San Diego.
Beautiful stuff. Yeah. Yeah, she's going to dissipate it. She's going to cross back over out in the Pacific and dissipate out there. And so no Labor Day tropical storms.
So are we talking about weather today?
Weather. We did just for a second.
Okay.
But we're done, I guess, now. It's public information, you know, because tropical storm can be dangerous.
Okay.
Keeping up. Alisa Rubalcaba is our guest this morning. She is the coordinator of the Family Resource Center in Winter Haven, representing the San Pasqual School District and all sorts of agencies and services.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Just to go over a few of the services that we have out there, we've talked about we have social services out there, which works with our families and helps them apply for cash aid, Medi-Cal, emergency Medi-Cal. We also have CalWORKs, which is part of social mm-hmm. services. They go out there and actually help our families with employment resources, help them get employed, transport them to job interviews and so forth, help them create resumes. And, of course, they work closely with the one-stop. We have a complete one-stop office out there. We have one person who's out there. We have computers available to our families. It's just the same thing as in Pearl County. They register with one-stop and they have access to computers, fax, copy machines, telephones.
But the problem,
school and job related.
But if, let's say, they get an interview and they have no transportation, that's...
Yeah, how many Winter Haven businesses are putting up applications on the Internet?
The thing is, a lot of our families out there are applying for jobs in Yuma. So
even though Arizona's, like, it's hard to work at, right?
And yeah, you were talking about the right state, but it's their only choice because there is really, in Winter Haven, all we have is one strip and we have a store.
Do you have good public transportation to Yuma?
Yes. Back and forth.
Back and forth, taxi, but just to cross over the bridge, I believe it's a $15 fee because they're crossing state lines. So anybody who is in California, Winter Haven, Bard area, just because of the taxis coming over, they're crossing over a state line. So basically...
2.5 hours of work in Arizona at minimum wage.
Exactly. So it becomes very difficult for our families out there.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of our families, it kind of defeats the purpose of having to go to work and work a couple of hours, and they have their children, they have to pay for daycare. So it's a pretty hard area to live in. Yes, we are part of Imperial County, but
I think that the casinos that open should have been providing transportation for all their workers. That give priority to Winter Haven and have provided some kind of transportation from Winter Haven and back to their casino.
A shift bus to pick up people.
Yes,
and they have them right now coming from El Centro. But you have to remember the requirements to get into the casino. You have to have a background check.
Oh.
So if you start thinking about the community, some of our families won't be able to pass our background check. So, therefore, they can't be employed by the casino, so that becomes somewhat difficult.
What kind of things that they might have? Like, I'm thinking, they're isolated. Is there some sexual predators over there?
We have those, and we have a lot of individuals who don't have a driver's license for whatever reason, whether it was taken away for, we have individuals, a lot of them who have DUIs. That counts against them. We have individuals who just don't have a driver's license to begin with. Who have some kind of a felony. I mean, it's just the requirements from the casino. They do have a background check and a lot of
families.
Yeah,
it's like working in a bank almost. If you're bondable.
Exactly, because you're going to be working on a lot of money, so therefore you need to have that background mm-hmm. check, and some of our families won't be able to pass that. If you think about it, the area that we work in.
You know what, though? See, here's the thing. Maybe your kid's graduating out of high school. Maybe that's now their ticket. Be quick before they get in too much trouble.
And I think that's the whole purpose of having a place like the Family Resource mm-hmm. Center where everybody's working with the youth. We're trying to work with the youth. San Pasqual School District is focusing on these children, on the youth, focusing on the elementary years because this is where we're going to get to them when they're younger and try to make them be more successful, encourage them, support them, mm-hmm. seeing that there's other options, getting them to see what their options are. There's programs now where they're talking to children in elementary school and talking to them about going to college, university. Mm-hmm. We're starting early now. We're not waiting for junior high or high school.
Yes.
We're focusing on the elementary kids because these are the children that, you know, you have to teach them when they're young.
How different is it? I mean, being in Winter Haven and then having the Indian Reservation there, working with the different types of mm-hmm. populations, you know, you have the Hispanic
community. It's somewhat different because, you know, our Hispanic community doesn't qualify for any of the benefits from the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
The reservation has assistance for tribal members. They have Indian health services, which is basically they have their medical needs met. Whereas our Hispanic community, you know, they have to rely on certain programs like our migrant program, where they can get medical assistance or educational assistance. Mm-hmm. So the difference there is the tribe does have support. It's just those who choose to appreciate and take advantage of it. Our Hispanic communities, you know, they rely on programs like the migrant program to help them out.
And go to the FRC.
And go to the FRC, exactly.
Mark, can the Indian members go to the FRC also and access services?
Oh, definitely. I think there we have a pretty much our the families that we work with, I would say it's pretty much maybe a 50-50. We have the Hispanic community and the Native American community. And they also have social services through the tribe. They can go and apply with them, and then they have pretty much a representative that works with social mm-hmm. services and helps them get their aid and so forth.
Yeah. You mentioned outreach. Is the problem that some of the families that are in distress or struggling or whatever don't really want to come in and or don't really feel they need help? Or
I guess sometimes, you know, we have families out there. You know, we have agencies who are working out there. We have problem families.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want agencies to get involved, so therefore they don't seek out the services.
Kind of like my dad. You know, my dad, he's 79. Yeah, he's 79. He's a veteran.
And you're 22. How does that work?
He's a Korean War veteran. And he is, you know, he would have benefited from, there's a lot of things that he can benefit. You know, he probably could qualify for Medicare, Medi-Cal, cash aid, food stamps. No. Oh, no. Uh-uh. There's no way. Nobody's going to ask me questions and get into my private life. There's no. Uh-uh.
No,
so the only thing he does accept is VA. You know, and that's good. You know, VA veterans.
I think our families up there, they're pretty good about seeking out the services because it's their only resource. They have children. They need, you know, there's no work up for them out there. So basically their only cash flow is going to be if they apply for cash assistance. Medical, of course, is going to be if they get their Medi-Cal. So we have a lot of families who don't seek out the services. Now, when it comes to child protective services, you know, that's where, you know, they don't want anybody to get involved. Mm-hmm. Or
there's a reason why.
There's a reason why, exactly. So that's where it gets somewhat difficult. You know, and it's the hardest thing because, you know, you don't want to take these children away from families, but when you have a child who is coming to school and you can tell just by the way he looks or, you know, you have to get child protective services involved. And sometimes when they're knocking on the door, they don't want to open it. They don't want, you know, but we need, it's for the kids.
Is there any underlying reasons why the family is in that situation where the CPS has to come in, child protective service comes in, takes
a lot of times it has to do with drugs and alcohol, you know. Unfortunately, it's just something where sometimes it goes from generation to generation, and you know, we see a lot of out there. It's just this area is so secluded. We have a lot of families who are living under the radar, you know, and so we have children who are exposed to a lot of domestic violence, drug and alcohol. So you know, these are the kids that we're out there trying to seek out and trying to help.
So we can't figure out a way to get a movie theater into Winter Haven, but the drugs seem to get there no problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a recreation for them.
Exactly. Exactly. We do have a local strip bar in Winter Haven. But, you know, it's just the area is just, a lot of families.
So what do you do? What kind of services out there for those families who are?
That's why, you know, it's social services. We have a backpack program that we work with. We work with the food bank.
Mm-hmm. For alcohol and drugs, you know.
Oh, alcohol and drug. We have the tribe has a program, mm-hmm. and behavioral health is working with the youth.
Mm-hmm.
For adults, we have Imperial County Behavioral Health. And a lot of times we have a clinic out there, Clínica de Salud, and they're referred to behavioral health for services. Now, they need any type of counseling. If they're tribal members, we have a local agency there, so they work with those families. And if they're adults, a lot of times we have an adult case manager that works with these families, and then if they need to come into town to El Centro, then they come in for services out here.
That must be difficult because, I mean, we're very limited in residential treatment, alcohol and drug treatment. And then Scott runs the adult. And, Scott, you don't have anybody over there in Winter Haven for treatment.
No, and see, the thing is that the Quetzon drug and alcohol program, it'll take members that are not tribal. So they work with them, they provide counseling, and a lot of times when they've been in trouble and they're on probation, they seek out the services through mm-hmm. the Quetzon.
That's intuitive because the drugs don't care if you're native or no,
exactly.
non-native.
They don't care about your socioeconomic
level.
So they
provide services. Sometimes even if they're on probation with Yuma or Arizona, then they can go in. Seek services
in Yuma
because they're on probation.
Yeah, and over there,
Yuma.
There's a lot of
exactly.
other options, other services.
Yeah, so they have that
That's
option
good.
Over there, so they're going to be on, if they're on probation, they can go over for those services. They don't qualify for any other assistance programs, but if they are on probation in Arizona, they can seek out services there.
But it's a tough place because there isn't a lot to do. There's not a lot of recreation or
no.
social opportunity or culture. Or, you know.
No,
so what do kids do? Do they go to Yuma? Or?
That's pretty much their only option. They drive into Yuma.
And they have
the kid with the car is probably really popular.
Well, you know, it's funny. The kid with the car, that's pretty much their only resource.
Get
you know?
Right.
And, you know, if you think about it, a lot of the kids walk over because it's just across the bridge. And the mall's not really that far from them, so they can actually walk over. They can go to the river. The movie theater's in downtown. So if they want to go in, they can actually walk over.
It's like a mile or two?
It's about a mile. You know, so we talk about walking a mile. Oh, when I was your age, they walk over for their entertainment. So.
Yeah, doable.
Yeah, it's doable
for the
kids.
But there's some risks over there, too.
Exactly. You know, these kids are California, so, of course, they're going to run into Arizona youth. And, you know, there's trouble, but, you know, they have that resource over there. So go over to Arizona mm-hmm. and have fun. They can't come all the way to Imperial Valley, but yeah, they do. They have Arizona.
Yeah, just when I've gone to Winter Haven and I've gone through BART and I see these little trailer parks and I go, you know, or just like the same as people who live in Nyla, you know, in the outskirts, you know, just the isolation mm-hmm. And I always worry about what about if they need services? How can they access?
You know, and the community center there is in the past years they've increased their activities. You know, they have the T-ball during the summer. They had movie nights for the kids. Right before school started, they had a dance for them where the kids went and it was from 8 to 12. So the actual reservation is doing more activities for the kid. They're more proactive in getting these children involved in positive activities, creating activities for the kids. That way they don't have to go and mm-hmm. seek out and go into Yuma and get into trouble. So, yeah, they've been really good about that, you know, about providing youth activities for mm-hmm. them. So
in the 6 years that you guys have had this going, 6 years, right?
Yes.
Happy birthday. Alicia Grobo Cabo, by the way, is our guest. 337-8874 is the phone number. Winter Haven people, we want to hear from you. Call us.
if they can listen to us.
If they can hear us.
You
must have a good antenna.
You've had 6 years of graduating classes to kind of compare here. Have you seen any differences? Have you seen any changes? Have you seen the protective factors of the FRC impact the lives directly of the kids that are in the system?
Well, we've had students that we've seen, you know, actually go off to college, whether it be just in Arizona. But, you know, they're actually going off to college. You know, it's Arizona Western College. It's close by. And we have students who are actually coming out to IVC. You know, they're moving or commuting because our students from out there in Winter Haven can come out to IVC, and they can also go into Arizona and they don't get charged out-of-state tuition.
That's nice.
So our students can now go in. They don't have to leave. But we are seeing an increase in these students, you know, seeking out higher education. And we're trying to encourage them Job Corps. We took a group of 4 students out to Job Corps this summer, introduced them to what Job Corps is, took them on a tour of the dorms.
Any of them ever been to San Diego?
No. You know, it's funny because some people have never even left the valley. So they're driving up there and they're seeing, you know, the different changes, the rocks are in San Diego. And we would have had more time. We would have left, taken to the beach, but we didn't. But they're just amazed, you know, of what's out there.
Yeah.
You know, and they're getting encouraged. They want to do this. They want to go off. Oh, wow, you know, I can go to a big city. They're going to pay for my education. So, yeah, we're promoting that through the Family Resource Center. And being that now they have the resource that they can go to the computer, go online. You know, they have them at school, but here they can actually research, come and apply for financial aid if they need assistance and so forth.
It would be good if they had, like, an upper bound program in San Pascual School District.
That would be nice. And the only thing is they would have fall under Pearl Valley College.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the commute, and I know funds are kind of short right now, but that would be awesome.
That would be good, because that's the way I got exposed, and
exactly.
That's the way I was like, God, you know what? I can do this, you know, see the different campuses, you know, from Santa Cruz, UCLA, UCSD. I mean, that's what...
And we do have a person that goes out from Imperial Valley College to work with the kids. It's one of the programs out there.
EOPS?
It's not the old
talent
search. We have talent search out there, so they do.
That's what they do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
they do field trips too.
Exactly. And for our migrant students, the Migrant Education Program, Pearl County Office of Education, Migrant Program, they have university days. And this year we're focusing on not just junior high and high school, but we're taking 5th and 6th graders. It's going to be a 3-day thing in September. Where the children get to learn about different colleges. The ones who are in high school get to start preparing themselves on how to write an essay, how to organize their resumes, getting everything accumulated so they have a package. You know, so when they're seniors, you know, they have everything ready to go. They know how to apply for scholarships, grants. And so it's very good through the migrant program. And I know that talent search is available for all the students who don't qualify for migrant services. And I know that there's different programs out there that the school's working with where they bring in the parents in the evenings and teach them about encouraging children to go to college.
And I think that's also a key, because sometimes parents have no idea what is the process, you know, how can I help my child get into college when I don't even know what the process is, you know, applications, financial aid packages. It gets really complicated, getting transcripts, getting this.
I believe the programs that we have out there right now, and it's through, it's the Gear Up. So they go out there and they do classes for the families. It's pretty much like a 7-week class course. They teach them how to get the kids involved, how to encourage them to go to college. So, you know, it might be a remote area, but I think we're working on getting the youth, you know, motivated, and with all these services available to them, I think it'll just kind of, it'll benefit them to let these resources are available to them, that they can go and apply for work. That, you know, they want to, they're living in San Diego, they know they can go in there and research San Diego and jobs in San Diego and use the Family Resource Center where they can send a resume, create a resume, use the phone, fax, and everything.
No, ultimately, Winter Haven's going to experience, if you guys do this right, they're going to experience a talent drain. What you're going to end up doing is your smart, talented kids, the ones who might, you know, make a really good Winter Haven someday, are all going to leave, and the people who aren't able to do that because they haven't, that's not their path.
You know, we have a lot of students who have left in the past, and they actually come back.
Are you a Winter Haven person? Were you?
No, I'm actually in Pearl Valley. I grew up in the Pearl Valley. But we have students who have taken off, and we have a Stanford graduate who came back and you know, and was teaching there. So she went off to Stanford 4 years ago. I was there when she graduated, and she came back and was working with the youth. So, you know, that's
promising. A strong message.
Oh, yeah.
She came back and is living in that little the center of the earth, you know, Stanford graduate, and she came back and was working with our youth.
Wow.
Is that in your district?
Yeah, it's the center of the earth.
I commend her. I'm really, that's really good.
So,
I mean,
you know,
being a Stanford.
Being
a substitute Stanford.
We have some of our teachers who are San Pascual graduates and come back, you know, and they're teaching there. So I think it's just about motivating the community. You know, it's It's a small little town. It's small little town in the sense of the population, but when you think about it, you know, size-wise, it's
when is Walmart going to move in there?
Huh.
No, I think you must have heard that we have three in Yuma, so they don't need one in Winter Haven.
Do you guys have any kind of chain stores, any kind of national stuff?
In Winter Haven?
You probably don't hang out in Winter Haven.
No. Like I said, in Winter Haven, all we have is we have the Imperial County Sheriff's Office. We have the Fire Department, Post Office. Bard Water District, and the Winslow Grocery Store.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's it.
Right.
That's all we have.
Several times.
That's all we have out there. So, like I said, it's very, very limited to their resources, you know.
And then
it's very groceries.
It's limited in resources, but you have a lot of, issues. That
there's a
poverty,
lot of,
unemployment, exactly. Drug abuse, domestic violence.
There's just a lot of, you know, there's a lot of other issues that...
No transportation,
and our children have to live with this, so that's why, you know, we're out there working with our children and trying to, you know, try to teach them that there's more out there, they can overcome this, and that's why it's good to have our different programs that are now accessing services in Winter Haven. There wasn't really an area where they can all meet, but, you know, the Family Resource Center has a conference room where they can meet with people. We have agencies who are seeking out, you know, where they can do maybe evening, a family, parenting. So, yeah, you know, it's gotten out there that, you know, Winter Haven does exist, and we do have children out there who need mm-hmm. services, even though they do have to live in some conditions that, you know, unfortunately are not the greatest. But it's all about the kids out there, mm-hmm. you know, and working with the parents. And just as long as the parents know that they have these resources, you know, it's for the benefit of the children out there. So, you know, we're grateful to have it out there.
Well, and they're lucky to have someone like you out there doing tireless outreach.
We do.
I guess every day is busy. I mean, there's so many things.
Right now, our biggest thing is, you know, food. The commodities that we get, food bank every once a month, and it's just very limited. They're running out of food a lot faster, it seems like. We have individuals who don't qualify for food stamps, whether it be because of their legal status or, you know, so right now it's just referrals to food bank. We get food donations, commodities once a month, just trying to help them.
Something as simple as staying fed.
Can you get donations from Yuma?
We can send them over to the food bank in Yuma for a food referral, but then we pick up once a month here in the Imperial County Food Bank. And so we provide commodities there at the Family Resource mm-hmm. Center once a month. It's not very much, but it usually includes some kind of a meat, vegetable, juice, mm-hmm. you know, gets them through. This last time, you know, we had ham, eggs, wow. juice. So it was pretty good for our families.
How about the casinos? Do the casinos give you any donations?
Free chips.
No. usually,
because they live in that, they're in that area, and they would benefit.
During Christmas, they do help us out with, they have toy drives. They do the Toys for Tots. So they do help us with that. And our schools hold, the food donation.
Mm-hmm.
So they donate that to us.
The holiday meals type of thing.
Yes, and we do. And usually we talked about it, 12 families that we helped last year. We did the turkey and everything included for a complete meal. We mm-hmm. gave it to 12 families. Some of the teachers were actually excited about it, and they got more money together, and we went out and bought more turkeys. We had a school psychologist, Miss Amy Adams.
Mm-hmm.
She actually adopted a whole family, mm-hmm. and she got them, you know, a whole meal, clothing, everything. And it was really nice for this family because, unfortunately, this family is one of our families who are seeing a trend now. They were used to the big home. They were from a big town in Northern California. They lost their home because dad got deported. They ended up in Winter Haven, lost their home. I mean, they had a $600,000 home over there, and now they're living in Winter Haven in a trailer. So this family was adopted, and their Christmas was, you know, it was special
mm-hmm.
for them
mm-hmm.
because thanks to this to Miss Amy Adams, who adopted the family.
Wow.
So we have a lot of people who, you know, it comes from their heart. They help us, donating clothing, food, what have you, just to help our families out there.
You have a contact number where if people are interested in helping?
Yes. Yesterday we gave our other number. It was area code 760-572-0222, extension 2607.
Hang on, wait, I'm looking for pencil. okay, give me that number again.
It's
a little bit more slowly.
760-572-0222, extension 2607, or our Imperial County Office of Ed, Student Wellbeing and Family Resources, which is 312-6498. And, of course, you can always leave a message letting us know that you have a pickup for a donation, and we're here every Tuesday. So we can pick that up.
Here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're down here in the valley. We're down here in Imperial County every Tuesday. We travel down
every
Tuesday.
Are we down from you guys or up from you guys?
I don't know. I think it's down.
I don't know. It's down.
Yeah, going down to El Centro.
Yeah, here's the valley. We're below sea level, so
yeah,
it is
down. Yeah, so if you want to donate anything, and once again, that number is 312-6498. That's our local number here at Imperial County Office of Ed. Or our number out in Winter Haven is area code 760-572-0222, extension 2607.
Yeah. Or they can always open probably the phone book.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the phone book, it's we're listed in the Imperial County Office of Ed.
You're online.
We're online, definitely. It's, you know, there's always a way to reach us. Any agency, if you want to contact the Resource Center, we work with so many agencies. That they would know exactly or give you a contact number.
Okay. If they say they heard about it on Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness in the Imperial Valley, you'll give them an extra thank you, huh?
I'll give them an extra thank you.
And let's say,
I'll call you and let you know so you can let, you know.
Yeah, and like
put say, air.
Scott said, you know, Wellness Radio for Imperial Valley, that also includes Winter Haven.
That's
yes.
Right. That's right.
Yes.
And Maria does not let us forget that, so.
Yeah.
Good deal.
We're out there in the middle of nowhere, but we are part of Imperial County.
Alicia, thanks for caring.
Thank
thanks
you
for
very
coming
much.
Aboard today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope that it's been helpful for our community, for Imperial Valley, you know, that Winter Haven is out there, and there are resources.
And there's needs.
And there is needs. So.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us for another adventure of Let's Talk About It.
And next week, we have Tuesday.
You know who's coming
yes.
for. Why don't you announce those?
We have Selena. Selena Gonzalez, who is the counselor for the El Centro School District, Elementary School District, and Ms. Cavill. She is Eileen Cavill. She is a deputy district attorney, district attorney. And they're going to talk about what happens when parents don't send their kids to school, and what they're trying to do is prosecuting those parents.
So join us
yes.
next week for our back-to-school special
exactly.
where we have H1N1 meets the rules about sending your kid to school.
Yes. So very important. A lot of good information.
Thanks.
So, thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.